So, hi everybody. This is still Yoga for Entrepreneurs. It is February 21st, 2020, and we are in part three of four of our day. So, this morning we started out with some of the foundations about what yoga even is. Had we even heard of Yoga Sutras of Patanjali? And in Western culture, not usually we think of it as some kind of fitness craze or a way of stretching before getting a better run in or something like that. So really a much broader understanding of what yoga is and why it matters for our companies and our lives. Then in the last segment before lunch, we had the chance to get moving and see how we translate this practice into really conscious physical movement in the yoga tradition. Those are called the asanas, the postures. And a reminder that there are only like three of the 196 little sayings from Patanjali's Yoga Sutras are about the postures. But still in Iyengar Yoga, they're really, really important because those postures are our route through to the mind, our route through to spirit, our route through to something much bigger. And so where we're at right now, we just went away for lunch. A couple of you reached out to me. I know you'll be seeing this in the recording. Somebody said Yvonne, you were one of the ones you said you might not be on time, and you're here. And some others reached out. They said they've, you know, got to pick up kids or whatever it is. They'll see us in a little while. So so glad that you're here, whatever way you're hearing my voice. And I want to check in with you. So we're going to do a dive into yoga philosophy this afternoon, and then some restorative yoga in our fourth block, restorative yoga and some breath work. And right now I want to see, I just want to do some unpacking of what happened as we actually moved into the postures. Now you can go to, and I encourage you to do so, you can go to your local yoga studio, you can work privately with a yoga teacher. I really encourage each of you to do that. And my preference would be that you go find an Iyengar teacher or find a really, really good teacher. I really love Iyengar yoga, and I'm definitely an Iyengar yogi. But finding one in your own where you live is a really, really great thing to do. And when we're just moving our bodies in those postures, we don't always know what else is going on. We're not always tracking just if we attend a class, what the effects are on our minds, on our hearts, on our spirits, and how this is connected with the companies that we're building and the lives that we're building. So opening up a space, just reminding you of where we've been, what's the broader part of yoga, moving and yoga philosophy this afternoon, and some restorative yoga and breath work. And then what was that practice for you? What did you notice coming up? I know that one of you at least has something that you really are ready to share, so we had a little text exchange about it. What did you notice? What were your observations? What ahas did you have? What was opening for you through that practice? So who would like to begin? Mary Kay. I know this one is big. This is really beautiful.
I had a lot of trouble with this one. I've experienced a similar experience to this several other times with yoga. I do have a local yoga teacher I've worked through some of this with her too, but I'm fine through most of the session.
Yeah.
And like desperate because I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to just give up, and I wanted to stay with everybody, but I couldn't figure out what to do, what I needed. And every time I moved a tiny little bit, it hurt. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't move very far and this and that. And I was trying to, in the midst of all my tears, trying to figure out how to take care of myself. And then it brought up a whole lot of stuff about gym class and this vision impairment that nobody ever discovered till I was 50 years old. And it reflects back to why I couldn't catch balls and why balls hit me in gym all the time. And I couldn't do our somersaults and I never could do a cartwheel. And anyway, that's all the background that brought up all this stuff. And so I finally, let's see, what did I do at first? Oh, I turned off the camera.
Yes.
I was totally experimenting with what I needed. Like, what did I need?
Good.
to stay with it, to stay in the game. And that didn't work very well either. And then I moved backwards away from the, you know, camera, and that didn't work very well either. I stood up, that didn't work very well either. Finally, I took this piece of paper, as I couldn't figure out how to, I thought I need to get rid, not, this sounds terrible. I need to cover everyone's faces up except Michelle. And I couldn't figure out how to do it on Zoom. So I finally folded a piece of paper because, you know, everybody's at the top of the screen. And then I just put this little thing so everybody was covered up except Michelle. Mm. Boy, as soon as I did that, I took a huge breath. Wow.
Wow. Cool. Wow.
And then I could participate. I didn't cry anymore. I could move further. I moved like at least 50% easier, further and easier, and could be in the game. And I moved a lot farther through this than I ever have before. And it's something around being, you know, if I'm moving, people are going to see me and the ball is going to hit me. And
sorry, people will see me and then what will happen?
The ball will hit me.
Right. Oh.
And if I stand still and I'm unseen, I stand in the backfield or off to the side or something. And then, you know, maybe the teacher won't notice I won't have to play and the ball won't hit me. Throw it to me so I won't hit. And it's something about I really needed to just be still. So that's how it triggered with having to move. But I still wanted to stay with everybody. So
Mary Kay, this is beautiful. This is fantastic. And were you tracking on all the pieces that she's talking about here? Were you tracking on what that is for you? I'm seeing a lot of deep nods here, right? So here's the thing. When I say this, what a perfect illustration of what happens on the mat. Sometimes we bring in all that stuff from our world and then it impacts on the mat. And then we can take the mat and what's happening on our yoga mat. And as we work with it in these minute ways, and Mary Kay's giving such a fine example of that working with it, then the ripple effect that has out into our worlds, I don't have the words for it. Mary Kay just gave us the most profound illustration of this. And all of the, and you can start to see how the yoga and then that work in story, how they're connected. Because the stories, they're like the inner world stories, that's what the yogis have studied. That's all that mind stuff. Remember, yoga is the stilling of the fluctuations of consciousness. Yoga is stopping all that mind stuff. That's the definition. So as all this stuff is coming up, and it's like, oh my goodness, if I'm like the ripple effect for the company, for your work in the world, if I stay still, maybe I'll stay unseen and it'll be okay. How's that? And I know, you know, like how's that working then for the company, right? And if I move and get seen, I'll become a target and then I'm going to get a hit in the face with the ball. Well, how likely am I going to want to go take out that next step of the company and make it be, allow it to be bigger? And yesterday, Mary Kay, you shared, thank you so much, that your latest offer was 10 times what that person was invested in the last time around. So these are big steps you're taking out there in the world. And then when we add that up with, wow, and if I'm big and I'm seen, I'm going to get hit in the face. And all that coming up through this very simple, seemingly simple practice of yoga and finding the way to stay with it, finding the way to stay with it, finding what I need to be comfortable like Barb on the mat. It's like, what do I need that maybe nobody else around me is doing? And it's not the way that it's supposed to be done, we think. So our editor is saying, that old voice says. And then the breakthrough that's possible. I loved what you said, Mary Kay. You said you moved 30% further, you said. You said this. You've had a breakthrough that has never happened like this before. Did I hear those words correctly?
It's 50%.
50%. I missed it. More. 50%. I heard 30. 50%. So if we think that such an illustration of everything that we've been talking about this morning, we think, well, yoga is just doing a few postures so that I can be better at running. Like, the way we diminish what this practice is in the West is astonishing. It's this. And paying that, it's why I have you paying that minute attention in Shavasana too. And that carries on into the whole of the embodied practice, the asanas, the postures, and what we can find out about how our minds are actually working and what's holding us back and what will allow us to stay and take that next step is freaking phenomenal. Fabulous work. And also, if we think it's about the body, we think we have some block in the body or something that, well, that can't happen because, whatever statement that is, and we think of the body as having these very explicit, you know, physical limitations. Well, I can raise my arm so high and that's as far as I can raise it. Well, I will never do, or like the very first person in this community, it's like, well, she was sure that she would never do headstand because, you know, well, that wasn't true. She'd worked with a whole bunch of teachers before and we knew that it was impossible until it wasn't. Right. And so Mary Kay might have said, well, my body will only do this because that's a physical limitation. My body is stopped by this. And when we see all these stories, how they play into it. And as you broke through that, Mary Kay, 50% more movement immediately with a breakthrough that's never happened before. Thank you for this. Welcome to Yoga for Entrepreneurs. You said you already got what you came for earlier in the morning, but there's more stuff to come. Bless you. And thank you for sharing that story because that's so important for each and every one of us. I did say that we debrief it because more is going to be happening than meets the eye. Here's a really profound and wonderful example. Thank you. Before we go on to the next person, because this is like a really huge opening and it brings together so much of what we said, I'd love to hear one thing that's opening for one of you from something that you heard Mary Kay say or something that I, in my words, following up with what Mary Kay said. What's opening for you now about limitations, about body and how it's connected with how it's driven by mind, about how the practice on the mat is connected with what we're doing out there in the world, how the old stories come in. I mean, there's so much there. What did you hear for you, Yvonne?
Yeah, and I've heard this a million times from you, but it's probably the first time that I'm actually really hearing it.
Notice those words, right? Yes. Super important. Yeah, I heard it before, but now I'm in a place where I can actually hear it.
Yeah. The whole piece about, you know, paying minute attention to the postures and actually taking that moment to make an adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
And the ripple effect that can have. Because when I do it on the mat and I, because I know I can be, like I've been doing, like laying on the blocks since October as well, very regularly. And there are times that I know that I'm not properly laying on it. And then I'm kind of like, ah, good enough.
Right. So we watch how we're playing.
Yeah. Not getting out of it and readjusting and, you know, until it's right.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful notice. And remember, I mentioned in response to Dottie's questions, like watch how you're playing in the high ticket virtual retreat. Well, the yoga practice also will allow us to have better access to watching how we're playing because we don't always know how we're playing. We can't even pay attention. We pay such only gross attention out there in the world. I mean, in Western culture generally, like we're not really paying attention. And there's scattered energy and overwhelmment and so on. But the yoga practice has us paying such closer attention. And then we can catch things long before they're a crisis. We can catch things, you know, when possibilities, when other people can't even see them, we just see things sooner. And and the blocks, you know, that's another example of what we think is impossible. So some of you have heard, you may have all heard this story, but hear it newly now, that at first Yvonne was, I know you won't mind if I share this story because you've given me permission many times. Yvonne was like, no way I'm going to be on those blocks. That's impossible. That's awful. That's horrible. I'm never going to do it. And now you just heard saying, I'm doing it every day, right? So the way the practice can progress and what we think is impossible, what we think can't be done. And this happens at the physical level with blocks. It happens with the breakthroughs in the story, like Mary Kay talked about, which then there's physical breakthroughs that are connected. And you'll hear another layer of when I talked about Trish and her having that first $5,000 sale at the same time that the cranial sacral specialist said, something's changed in your heart. and how all of us, we are whole human beings, how all of it is connected, and we can meet all of that in the mat and start to transform that right there. So beautiful. Thank you, Yvonne. And was there something you were about to add something, and I cut you off. Was there something you want to add? You're good?
No, I'm good. Yeah, it was just the fact that, you know, like 1 degree change, you know, could make a lot of difference also, not just in on the map, but also in my life and my business.
Yes. Thank you for hearing it. And this that I show often, right? It's like this little change over here, completely different life trajectory, completely different company, seems innocuous, right? And if Mary Kay, for instance, were not paying attention, if she was not as mindful as she is, it would be really easy, especially there's tears, there's distress, there's, she could go and go, well, you know, yoga is really not for me, and this was stupid. I mean, Mary Kay's not showing any of those signs, but in another person in that very same circumstance could go, well, that's not for me, and it's obviously a stupid class, and something is wrong, and or, you know, or something is wrong with me, and blah, 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 blah. None of that was happening. There was svadhyaya, self-study, deep introspection. And then from that, the huge win, first time ever like this, 50% more mobility, finding out about what is going on at that minute level internally as Mary Kay is taking bigger and bigger steps out into being visible in the world. Freaking awesome. Thank you, Mary Kay. Thank you, Yvonne. Great work. Let's hear from another of you, and it can be, sometimes it feels like, you know, the both awful and then opening, and the heavens are singing, and, you know, the angels are, you know, right, and the heavens open, and, you know, the divine descends or whatever it is. And sometimes it's just, you know, I felt something in my left foot that I've never felt before, or, gee, I noticed that I was breathing, or, and that's, I mean, not just that, that's huge, right? So, what was this practice for, or like I hated it or I loved it, whatever it is, there's something valuable there. What's your aha? What did you notice in the practice of the asanas in our part two? What would you like to add? Who would like to go next? Yeah, Lindsay, thank you.
Sorry, that sun's coming in at a beautiful angle. I missed a little bit of what you're talking about, but I kind of think of, I caught on. And the one thing I noticed is how much watching you instead of a solid place affected my balance.
Mm-hmm.
And made me realize that in my own business, I need to quit watching all of my teammates and where they're maybe not excelling and just focus on myself, because that could be what's holding me back.
What happens on the mat is phenomenal when we pay attention. You guys are paying attention. Thank you. And it can seem like so much of the thing to do. Here's the teacher, I'll watch her, and I'm reasonably steady, at least when I'm standing on my right leg right now, the left foot will come back again, right? But that is not the same as something that is unmoving, steady. And so it can, without thinking, easy to watch the teacher, you'd think that's what we're supposed to do. And this wobble that happens because of that, we're not even aware of it. We don't even know why it's happening. And we're falling over more than we need to. And we're not as steady. And and then having the awareness to see how that translates out into our world. This is perfect for you, Lindsay. I can't think of anything more perfect. And somebody could have just come up to Lindsay and said that and, you know, going with a magic wand or something, you know, here, know this, right? But it, the words themselves don't carry it. Do you get what I'm saying? Like that can be said. Maybe she even heard that before. Maybe Lindsay even heard that before, but it goes in a different way. I get it. Not head knowledge, but something of my cells start to understand. I'm not going to go watching everybody out there. I wobble. Let me find my grounding. Let me find my stability. Let me find my strength. And from that place to make my decisions, from that place, I know my focus, from that place, build my company and my world. Really awesome, Lindsay. Yes. I knew that there'd be, you guys are amazing, there'd be a richness in what we were uncovering. And what did we do? We sat and we stood. You know, really. There's so much happening there. Let's hear from one or two more of you. And again, we could spend the whole day on this. We're not going to, but I want us all to really, I mean, I know we already know there's way more there than meets the eye, but just a couple more examples, big or small. There might be somebody going, wow, these are major things. And I just noticed my toe, but then I better not share that. Now go ahead and share that. Or I had trouble or whatever it is. Think of how much we had that open when Barb said, actually, that Shavasana was uncomfortable. I know. Tons open there. Who would like to share? And Marla, I see you speaking, but you're muted, so. Marla, are you wanting to speak? Because I see you speaking. No, okay. You looked like you were speaking. No? You're just like whispering sweet nothings to somebody else. And like something that I'm not in on, whatever it is, all good. All right. What else? Dog. What was that? You're blowing kisses to Yvonne. Huh? Speaking to Yvonne. Oh, your dog. I thought it was Yvonne. Let's hear from at least one more of you. And again, if there's something stopping you because I don't know what to say, have the trust and faith to raise your hand and then trust that the words will come to you. That will be huge for you, even if you don't know what to say, because sometimes we don't know what to say. Well, next time you're giving a talk, what will that do for you if you decide to speak now when you don't know what to say? Maybe you think it's unacceptable to say what you're going to say. Maybe you think it's not big enough. Maybe you think it's already been said and you're waiting to move on to the other thing. So pushing this away, Devasia, it's one of the kleshas. No, not this, I want something else. Notice how you're playing now. What else? And you might have already spoken. You can speak again. You might not have spoken yet. Not afraid of the pause. Tracy, there it is. Thank you.
I don't know what this means. But I have trouble with my hips. And so when we did the old man sit or the old man's with our legs, pulling our legs up, that was hard for me.
Yeah.
That was hard for me on both of them because I wish I could do the, you know, my kids call it crisscross applesauce, you know, sit like an idiot.
Yes.
I just can't bend my legs that much or just not flexible there. So
yeah.
I don't know what that means or anything, but.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you. And first thing I want to say is I love Tracy, how you started. I don't know what this means, but I'm going to share it anyway, because I don't have to have it all worked out at once beforehand. I don't need to know all the answers. I don't know why it's happening, but I trust that this is emerging from me and I'm going to share it. Great stuff. And, you know, we've talked a little bit in the community about, and you've shared about giving your talk the other day, right? And finding, so then what, in speaking out now, how fantastic is it? Like finding more of those words, finding it, you know, the ability to speak and not needing to know all the answers. All this is fabulous training, right? Right on the spot doing it first, applauding that. Fantastic. Second thing is really interesting about hips. So I talked about my teacher, Margot Kitchen, the one with the heart, where the doctors are going, you're in your 70s. Why do you have a heart of a 50-year-old? And, you know, most people in her situation, even much decades younger than her, don't even make it to the hospital. So she's a really, really wise yogi. And one of the things that I've heard her say countless times is we store a lot of stuff in our hips. And I've heard her say that about hips, and not about other body parts, to be honest, like over and over again. Now, there are some disciplines and modalities that would, you know, map the body in particular ways more than I ever have with Iyengar yoga. So I can't tell you, you know, if your nose hurts, what it means, whatever. They're like, I don't know, right? But I do know that she said that countless times. We store tons of stuff in our hips. And so sometimes we want to know, well, what is that thing exactly that I've been storing there? Well, sometimes we're going to know, sometimes we're not going to know. Sometimes we don't need to know. And the yoga practice, so this allows me to add this one piece about the asana practice. So thank you for that opportunity, Tracy, that it will bring up stuff because our stories are stored right in our cells and our bones and right in our flesh, right? So sometimes things will come up, and it's more often than not, I've seen all kinds of people laugh, start laughing hysterically. People start crying uncontrollably. People, you know, in yoga, like Yvonne, you know, right? Like, and so, yes. So it's happened before. So there's like all this stuff. And what she's taught me and what I want to pass on to you is like, we don't always need to know what that stuff is. But as we're working to find the mobility, we might be bumping into that. As the emotions come up, we might be bumping into that. We're storing stuff in our hips when we release it. It's like, great, I don't need to carry that stuff anymore. I don't know what it was, but I don't need to carry that anymore. So, and sometimes there's just, well, my hips are stiff. I haven't used them very much. There's that going on too, right? I haven't been using them so much in recent years that it's one of two main, really crucial joints in our body, our shoulders and our hips. And it's like, what would it be to pay attention to that part? Because I haven't maybe been sending it some love. I haven't been moving it so much. And then not to go, man, bad knee, you're out of line. Somebody's done something wrong. Remember that training earlier? It's just like, oh, just move the knee in line. Oh, man, I should have been paying attention to my hips. Oh, if somebody had taught me, oh, I can just turn the light on now. I can just go, I would like to pay attention now. And just notice what's going on too, just awareness. And the curiosity of a child, I wonder what's going on there. And yeah, that knowing that we store stuff there. So really wonderful to do some hip openers to release that stuff. And there's a really simple in terms of easy to teach, accessible one that you can be practicing right away. I sit like that a lot. And it's interesting too, for women. So, and hi guys who aren't here today, we love you. I'm thinking about women for a minute. That as women, we're trained not to sit like a man. We're trained not to take up areas like traditional. And we think that's ages old and that's past, we're past that, but we're not. We're not supposed to take up space. We're not supposed to sit like that. We're supposed, you know, we see a man sitting and kind of all sprawled in, you know, we don't think too much about it, but a woman, and they, especially if she's wearing a dress, man, what's wrong with you? And you're right, shock of shock, right? We still think like that. So we're taught not to take up space, but we can sit that way. We can, you know, find ways to open up those big joints in the body. And our hips are so important too, because I mean, if you think about it, hips and aging, and so many elderly people, and it doesn't even have to be elderly, we don't have to be that old, people fall, they break their hip, and especially though if they're elderly, that can be the end of their life. So we don't have the balance, and yoga trains balance, right? We did a little bit of balancing posture, you use it or lose it. So lack of balance and no mobility in the hips. And it actually ends people's lives. So what would it be to start sending some loving kindness there now? And if I'm not paying attention to that, where else am I not giving loving kindness to or paying attention to for myself here in my body, here in my, in where I live, here in what I put in my body, what I eat or who I'm with or what I'm listening to that's affecting my mind? So where else do I want to send loving kindness to that maybe I haven't been before? So your observation. Thank you for that, Tracy. So in even one piece of that, there's so much opportunity for svadhyaya, self-study, and a deeper investigation. So well done. Yeah, beautiful. All right. I just want to check something in my notes here for a sec. Okay. All right. Anything else bubbling up, wanting to be said? Without which we cannot go forward. Okay, and I think we could actually spend the rest of the day and we'd find more and more and more there. We're not gonna do that. But just this piece of it helps us understand there was so much more there than we even knew when it was happening. And there was a lot more happening in just sitting than we think about when we sit every day. So great work. Let's close this part of it because we're going to move on to something quite different, related but different in this next segment of this block. So I'd love to hear one or two or three words from each of you. One gift that you've received, one aha, something that you have noticed, and that then you give the gift of your words when you share it with others. So a word or two or three that says something about what you've learned. It could be hips. It could be hit with ball. It could be grounding. I don't know, whatever it is for you. one or two or three words so we can do a little mini consolidation of this piece. Marla, you're in my upper left-hand corner. You're up first. One or two or three words.
I think the hips.
Hips?
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Mary Kay?
More empathy.
Love it. Tracy?
Move.
Yes. Love it. Barb?
What? The mat practice affects our life practice, our business.
Yes. More than one or two or three words, but yeah, beautiful. Oh, don't be sorry. I love the way you broke the rules there. Like, because can you see that that's related too? It's like, I'm supposed to be on this mat. I'm not supposed to move, so I better not go over to the bed. That was a perfect breaking of rules right there. I totally respect that because I don't know how else to say that in one or two or three words. And what you said is so important. Good choice. Thank you. Yvonne.
Paying minute attention.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Lindsay.
Correlation between work and yoga, really.
Yeah. Yeah. It's huge. Angela.
I would say the hips, carrying a lot of stuff through my hips.
Hips.
That hit home with me because I can feel that.
Yeah, good notice. And isn't it nice to notice it today rather than tomorrow or a year from now or 3 years from now or 10 years from now or heaven forbid after one of us falls or, you know, noticing where the stories are packed in and doing something to take care. And again, that's why I'm so excited about going to Mexico. Here we have a day. And it's amazing what we can do virtually. We're all living and being, and we're in different places and we can connect like this. I think it's like magic. It's still magic to me. And then when we're in Mexico together, we have a week where we're in the same place where we get to do a deep dive. I'm so excited. Please don't forget to send in your registration to Amy today. I would love to treat you to a massage, right? As your early bird bonus, if you get that in today. So write a note for yourself if you haven't done that, so you can do that right after our day today. Okay. Fantastic. Thank you. It's Mary Kay, if you could mute, just heard a little bit at your end. Thank you. So let me just think about the best way to enter into the next segment. Oh, no, I'm going to let that one go. All right. Here's where I want to enter in. So I want to go to today, or this block, I said, we're going to talk more deeply about yoga philosophy. So remember, if out of those 196 sutras, only three of them are about the postures. Well, we got a whole wealth of information and knowledge and wisdom out of that one yoga practice and the unpacking of it. And only three of the sutras talk about that. There's so much else that the yogis bring to us about human freedom, about non-suffering, about living a life that's actually actualized. And all those things, when we have that, of course, are like, if you stand two people beside each other and you say, which one has a company that's thriving? Here's the person who's packed a whole bunch of stuff in their hips that they don't know about, and they do, then they find out, but they do nothing about, and it just stays there and packs more in, right? And they're not moving when they're on the mat, but all of you have transformed from that now, right? Not moving when they're in pain. It's like, oh, I move and I'm in pain. Oh, I watch something that's still. Oh, I watch at a minute level, like all that attention. If we lined up those two people and said, this person hasn't investigated any of that at all and is not free and is in deep pain and suffering, and this person is self-actualized and is watching at a minute attention what's going on moment by moment and has focused attention, which company is thriving? It's really obvious, isn't it? Right? We know which person's company is thriving. So having the tools to be, to live that empowering story, to be that person, though, the, this on this side, right? So more on yoga philosophy. So where does, what is that foundation of yoga if it's not, well, I'm going to stretch a little so I won't hurt myself in my run? That's important too, but it's such a minute part of the practice, right? Important, but it's just scratching the surface. So I wanted to teach you a little bit more. I mentioned that the Yoga Sutras, there are four chapters. Chapter two, remember that? The second pada really matters to us because, like, what about us mere mortals? What are we supposed to do if we're not enlightened yet? If we sometimes have a mind that wanders, oh, please help us. So the yogis help us, especially in that second chapter. So we study that second chapter. It's for us. And so in that, in the Yoga Sutras, what Patanjali explains is that there are eight limbs of yoga, eight kind of segments, eight practices. They're called eight limbs. And that is Ashtanga yoga. Ashtanga means eight limbs. Not to be confused with the style of yoga called Ashtanga yoga. Sorry about that. There is a style of yoga that's kind of co-opted that name, power yoga, and they call themselves Ashtanga yoga, but that's just like that brand of yoga. I'm an Iyengar yogi, they're an Ashtanga yogi. So if you hear that word, they're using it in a different way. Ashtanga yoga, the eight limbs of yoga, the yogis go, well, what does yoga even consist of? And you probably know a couple of them. Asana, those are the postures. We just got introduced to them today. Pranayama, yoga breath work. We've been doing Shavasana for a long time. And then we just start to control the breath on top of that. That's a like sneak peek into breath work. We'll do a little bit of it probably in the last segment today. So that's what we usually know about. Okay, we breathe and we do postures. That's only two of the eight limbs. And what we're going to do in this segment is dive into two of those other limbs. And they actually precede the asana, the postures, and the breath work. They come first. They're the cornerstone. They're the foundation on which the other pieces are meant to be built. So those eight limbs of yoga, it's let me tell you them in Sanskrit and then let me explain further, all right? So yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi, right? That was really enlightening and helpful to you, right? These later ones, I've sometimes said it, pratyahara, I will say that in Shavasana to you, getting you used to that Sanskrit word, withdrawal of the senses. Stopping being like out into that world, and I was busy, 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 and going inward, withdrawing the senses, like I did that with you in Shavasana today. Like imagine the eyes receding, the ears receding, go inward, withdrawing the senses from that outer world, and we gain knowledge and wisdom and information when we do that. Dharana, dhyana, and samadhi, it's a concentration, meditation, and liberation, enlightenment, freedom, whatever word we used, okay? So those are kind of the, they're considered like the higher stages, right? Or the more and more refined stages. Samadhi, those enlightened yogis, I don't know what that is. I'm on path. I don't really know. But wow, really cool at the end. But like chapter one is all for them, you know? But what's the foundation? Even to get to pranayama, the fourth limb, the yogi, one of the sutras just says that you can start breath work when you're, once you're perfect in the asanas. Once you're perfect in the postures, go ahead and start the breath work. Well, I saw Mary Kay's face. I saw others of you going like, Tracy going, what? And I'm like, well, you know, definitely my postures aren't perfect, but if we waited till then, like I'm going to wait, you know, several lifetimes. Let's start now, right? But it tells you that each one, they're kind of exponentially considered to be, you know, deeper and more refined practices, even by the time we get to the fourth limb, right? The ones that we're most used to in the West, we think that it's all about just one of those eight limbs, asana, the postures, and maybe a bit of breath work thrown in. What is the foundation then? What are the two steps before the postures and before the breath work? Does anybody know? I've never taught it this way, I don't think, before. I've never underlined it in this way before. So even if you've heard these, you might not have thought of it in this way. And some of you will go, I hadn't even heard about the sutras before, so I have no idea. Okay. So the rest of our block this afternoon, I want us to dive into those first two limbs. The yogis say they're the foundation. They're the foundation on which everything else is built. And I will tell you too that there's one brand of yoga. It's a really well-known international brand. It's not hot yoga. It's one of the others, and people come from all over the planet to study with them. And the community is doing well now, but they were shaken to their foundations 10 or 20 years ago when the community really fell apart. And they booted out their leader, and they elected a governing officials, and there was chaos in the community. And it was because they didn't listen to all of the limbs of yoga. And I was assigned as a young yoga teacher, as I was studying it, to study the founder of that system. And here's what happened. He created a system that was supposedly theirs, but there was just the six limbs of yoga, and he left out the foundation. And chaos ensued in the community. And because it was missing the foundation on which it's built. So the first two limbs, the ones that come before postures and before breath work, asana and pranayama, yama and niyama. Yama and niyama. Hugely important in yoga practice, yoga philosophy, the yoga sutras. And a big chunk of chapter two goes into what are the things that bind us. You've heard me say this word before, kleshas. We'll study some of the other pieces in our other yoga days, right? What are the things that are causing us to be bound? I've talked to you about that. But then what are the things that actually set us free? And according to the yogis, we need these foundations of the yama and niyama in order to be set free. So then what are the yama and niyama? I'm just trying to think of how I most want to approach this, because I already know one piece of it, but I'm just thinking about the order. Give me one second. Okay. Okay, I think what I want to do is just tell you what they are straight out, but then we're going to dive in. And the trouble with the yamas and niyamas is that they're deceptively simple. It's like if I describe to you what we did in the second part, we're going to sit, like let's say I'd advertise the Yoga for Entrepreneurs that way. We're going to sit and then we're going to sand and then we're going to talk about it. You'll go, yeah, right, you know, I don't think I have time. But a lot happens with these very, very seemingly simple things, right? So the same thing with the yamas and niyamas, and this will sound like, wow, I already know that, or that comes in other traditions, or yeah, whatever, tell me something else. But I can tell you that I've been like studying and practicing and thinking about and doing my best to implement the yamas and niyamas for many, many years now. And I'm understanding them at deeper and deeper levels. And if I had to say, like, there's one piece of the Yoga Sutras that I care the most about that makes the most difference, I don't know, there's a bunch of pieces, but this might come to the top of the list, right? And there's a lot of really great stuff in the sutras. So they are described differently, but sometimes it's described as they are personal observances, the yamas. The niyamas, they're personal observances. Like, what do I need to do to be, like, ethically aligned and living in a good way, basically, right? And the yamas are, like, how we live with others. So how we live in ourselves and how we live with others, basically. Sometimes they're described differently, but that's one way to think about them. And each one of them, there's, again, a depth of resonance underneath each one. The yamas in Sanskrit, this will be so helpful to you, but just so you've heard them, ahimsa, satya, ashteya, brahmacharya, aparigraha. These are the yamas. What this means, you've heard the first one quite often, especially in the last class, ahimsa. Do you remember what it is? Non-violence, non-harming. I asked you to be that toward your own body. And it sneaks in ways that we don't know. So that was what Barb was doing when she just stayed there right? And didn't move, but now will give herself permission to move. That was himsa, that was violence harming toward herself. And the yogis say, well, wait, you need ahimsa, otherwise even the asana practice won't be right. Right? And Mary Kay had to find her way to ahimsa, nonviolence, non-harming, and even as the tears are flowing and what's, you know, like finding a way toward non-harming. And it's not just toward our own bodies. It's not just toward, it's not just like not hitting people. It has far deeper resonance. Each of these does, I won't go into each of them for right now. I just want to tell you what they are. So, but know that it's going to be, I know I keep repeating that, but it's easy to have false closure about these. It's easy to think that they're simpler than they are and they don't matter, but they matter profoundly to build our companies and to build our practice and to build our world. So yamas, ahimsa, nonviolence, non-harming. Satya, I say this word sometimes too. Do you remember? Do you remember what it means?
Truthfulness.
Truthfulness. Yeah. Ahimsa, satya, asteya. Non-stealing. The translations aren't very good because it means so much more than just refraining from stealing, right? But good enough for now. Brahmacharya, that is often narrowly translated as celibacy. And it's like, what? I guess, you know, most of us will be toast probably, right? I'm going to blush, you know, right? What? But it's actually not... misusing the energy of the senses, not like having a containment of our energy so we don't leak energy, right? Not abusing senses, basically, all right? So, but you can think of it as like a broader meaning of celibacy, like not just like splaying out all over the place. You can think of it, right? It's just containing my energy. Don't have to be celibate to follow brahmacharya. And then a parigraha, a non-grasping. The niyamas, so these are what I do inside myself, basically, right? Like for, with myself. The niyamas, sausha, cleanliness, purity. I'm like, what? Should have seen my room was in, when I was a kid. What are you talking about? It was a mess. I'm like, what? Why should that matter? That's dumb. You know, that was my first impression, right? But it's important. We'll talk about what it is coming up. Santosha, contentment. Sounds like I'm content. Yeah, whatever. I'm happy, but I want to be much better than content. I want to be like really joyful or blissful, like who cares, beyond, right? Contentment, it's a deep yogic virtue. Tapas, burning zeal, willingness to put in the effort to like stay with it. Svadhyaya, we had a fabulous example of the depth of these, of one of these in Mary Kay. That was an excellent example of svadhyaya, self-study. And what came out of that? Each one of these has that depth to it, right? When I study myself, self-study, it can be study of scriptures, of you know, important readings, that kind of thing too. Like, but the most important one is studying oneself. Pranidhanani is like devotion to the highest, surrender to God. Like, there's different ways to say it. For some, that'll be wonderful. For some, that'll be awful. But it's like, devotion to that highest in us all is one way to put it. All right. So why should we care? This just sounds like maybe a version of the Ten Commandments, if that's your tradition. But the yogis think of it as quite differently than something like the Ten Commandments. And there's different ways that people think about the Ten Commandments, for example. And, the yogis are more like, well, here's what they are. Understand them at their depth. And try it one way and try it another way. And when we cross these, we just suffer. So if I'm violent toward my own knee and I twist it and torque it in ways that, because I just want to force myself into the posture, that's crossing ahimsa, and I'm going to end up with a knee injury and I'm going to suffer. If I am not paying attention to ahimsa, nonviolence, non-harming, and I'm trying to force somebody to say yes in a strategy session because I think that I really want that, because I'm hanging on to stuff and I want that next sale, I'm going to suffer. There's multiple ways that each one of these gets used and implemented in ways much deeper than we usually think. So what I want to do from here is actually dive into this. And I gave you, if you just appeared, you might not have that link. Let me just send the link again. Do you see the link? Some of you will probably see the links beside you in the chat. I'm going to send this link again. Now you all see it, right? So there's a lot of stuff about the yamas and niyamas that is kind of esoteric and weird and hard to follow. And we go like, what? What does it, why does this apply? Why is it interesting? But I found an article that actually talks about them in very real and implementable ways. And again, I don't know how to have words that land. I don't know how to have an empowering story without these principles behind our companies. And in the ways like the yogis talk about them, it's brilliant. So here's what we're going to do. Okay. I'm going to break you up into three groups. And the article talks about the yamas and niyamas and explains them in really tangible, beautiful ways. And so I'm going to give you a few minutes to actually, you know, everyone can read the first part of it because it will tie together some of the things we've been talking about. So once I put you into groups, you can read that first part of the article, and then you're going to read the segments that belong to you, right? So in three groups, there are 10 of them. Let me see who the groups are, and then I'm going to get a volunteer, right? So breakout rooms, not started. Wait, hang on a second. Huh, it's only giving me the old breakout rooms. Give me one second here.
Michelle, I do need to leave in about 6 minutes. So if that's going to mess with
yes, thank you for letting me know. Thank you. So we'll still, I'll still have the same number of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, we'll still have 3 breakout rooms. Thank you for letting me know.
Okay.
Okay. Wow, there's something weird that's happening here. Recreate. Oh, I see. Okay. Recreate rooms. Got it. Okay, 3 rooms. So, and I'm just going to thank you for that. So I'm going to move one person here to breakout room 2. Okay, so now it won't matter. Thank you for letting me know, Lindsay. All right. So here's what we're going to do. And that's 2 people each, so it's perfect. So, it's going to be Barb and Tracy, Lindsay, Marla, and Yvonne, and then Angela and Mary Kay. So I want one group bravely, you're going to bravely volunteer for your group. So this takes courage because that means you're volunteering that other person to do one extra one because we've got 10 niyamas and niyamas. So somebody will do, 2 groups will do 3, 1 group will do 4. Who's willing to take on a little extra challenge? Because you're going to be diving into what that yama or niyama is. And telling us a little bit about it in a few minutes. Who wants to volunteer? Mary Kay. All right. So Mary Kay, you just volunteered, you and Angela. That takes courage to step out, right? But Angela's smiling, so I think you're okay. And she's already nodding. Because that could play into Mary Kay's, oh my goodness, if I'm standing out, I might get hit by the ball. But she's not. She's meeting a smiling Angela. Fantastic. Okay. So here's how it's going to go. Barb and Tracy, you are going to read through Ahimsa, Satya, and Ashteya, the first 3, okay? The first 3 written down, Ahimsa, non-harming, non-violence, Satya, truthfulness, and Ashteya, non-stealing, all right? So, Lindsay, Marla, and Yvonne, for however long Lindsay is with you, you're going to hit the next 3, Brahmacharya. That's energy moderation, aparigraha, non-grasping, and then the first of the niyamas, sausha, purity. Then Angela and Mary Kay, you're going to be covering most of the niyamas with the exception of sausha, right? So the last 4 on the page, santosha, tapas, svadhyaya, and ishvara pranidhanani, the last 4 listed in that article. So I just wanted you to get a chance to get your kind of your hands dirty and work with these for a little bit. I'm going to give you, and we're going to extend this block just a little bit. And again, last time we only had 30 minutes left for the last segment. This is a really deep dive place. And it's when we do this, and I know we can do this well, there's as much here as we can find out from just standing and sitting. There's a ton that we will discover for our companies and for our world when we dive in. And this is the clearest that I've ever heard them explained in this article. So I'm going to give you, I know you need some time to read and then time to dive in. I'm going to give you 15 minutes. So we're going to come back at 3:55 Mountain Time. And here's what this 15 minutes, what it's going to allow you to do. You're going to read the beginning of the article, and then you're going to read the article. So take some time together. You can do it quietly to read those segments. Then how you prepare for this, you get to decide. You take that 15 minutes in any way you choose. It could be that you divide it up. Mary Kay and Angela might want to do that. Mary Kay will handle two of them, and Angela will handle the other two, and you'll come together. But you might not want to do that. You might decide just to focus on the first part of it. And what I'm asking you to do is this. Help us understand more of what this yama or niyama is and why you think it actually matters. Like non-stealing, I'm not going to steal stuff, fine. Whatever. But did I just steal somebody's time? How did I do that? Did I just steal somebody's thought? Did I just steal, you get the idea. And then why should this, I stole somebody's time in a strategy session by whatever, or I stole somebody's time in a talk that where I was not listening to who the audience was. So I was, you know, stealing their time. What else might I be stealing? I was stealing their image of themselves away from themselves by a nasty word. All these things come into play in the minute moment-to-moment actions in our companies. So give us a good understanding, a little deeper understanding of what it is and why it matters. And we might get to all of them. We might get to some of them. We'll see how we're going to play 15 minutes from now. We're going to extend this block a little bit. So read together the opening part of it. Understand your three or four yamas or niyamas. And then in your own words, you're going to come back and tell us, like, okay, non-stealing. I knew that was not stealing apples from the grocery store, but I didn't understand that it was whatever it is, okay? And this is how it applies for my company. Is that making sense? When we actually dive into these, you're going to find a wealth of material for you and for your company. And it's the translations are not exact. They mean more than we think. When we say the word content, santosha means tons more than that. All right. Any questions, without which we cannot go forward, anything that you need to know? Okay. I took a few more minutes to explain that. So let's go right up until the hour. Let's go right until 4 o'clock Mountain Time. You use your time as you see fit. This is the one time in the year that we get to dive into these. When I used to teach the loving kindness retreat, we'd spend like most of a day on each, you know, maybe one of these, and we'd spend an entire day. We have 15 minutes. So use your time wisely. All right. Enjoy. Notice how you're playing as you're playing with that other person. Because however you're playing here is probably how you're playing out there too in the world. So if you're not having fun, not doing it right, enjoy. And we'll see you right on the hour. I'll call you back with 1 minute left. Use the time fully and well. We'll have a break coming up soon. So use the time fully and well, and we'll see you in 15 minutes. Enjoy. See you soon. All right. Welcome back, everybody. First, just I'd love to hear from one of you, the 30-second or less version, how did it go in your groups? Any ahas from the process itself? Easy, hard, boring, interesting, focused, watching how I play, like whatever happened for you. What's your aha? One person. Yeah, Lindsay. Oh, perfect.
So mine was, I had to switch to my phone. I was running to get the kid, a kid from school. I wanted to be back in time to do it. I lost the link. Normally this would like freak me out. I would be like stressing about it and panicking. The girls didn't see my message right away, so they weren't replying. And then you didn't see my message. And so typically I would be like a mess, like really upset about it. And I wasn't. I was just like, it is what it is. And I got back and I got the link and I got on and I was able to read my section and discuss it. And it worked out just fine.
Fantastic. The power of this is huge. You just moved your knee back into place. Fantastic. The energy that is not wasted, that's not dissipated. My computer's frozen twice today. I don't know how that happened. It's like, well, I guess it's frozen. I just got back. You guys are all gone. It's lunchtime. Perfect. You know, just stuff works out. To have that equanimity and that knowingness is fantastic. Thank you. All right. As I said, we're going to go longer in this segment. I know that it's a long day. There's a lot that we do, but your energy actually looks good to me, given all that has been going on. How are you feeling? So good? You can go on for another, it's maybe a half hour or so, I think. And then it's kind of like what happened a year ago. I'm just going to have to adjust those times. And Mary Kay, thank you for that honesty. It's like, oh, just take care of your energy. Stand up, sit down, lie down in Shavasana. It's like whatever you need to do so that you can be present here, all right? And here's what I think I want to do. I did not write down who was in which group. So... group one was, you guys, somebody tell me, who was in the first group?
Tracy and Barb.
Okay, and the second group?
Marla, Lindsay, Yvonne.
Okay. And then the third group? Well, that should be obvious by process of elimination, but somebody just tell me. It's mid-afternoon.
Angela and Mary Kay.
Thank you. All right, and that's everybody now, right? Okay, good. So here's how I would like to do this. Let's go with group one, group two, group three, and you choose your favorite one. And we're not going to spend a long time on this. I encourage you to connect with each other and explore the depths of this. Like I say, I've taught whole days on this. I've attended, I believe, a whole week-long retreat that was just based on this as well out on Salt Spring Isle. Like there's so much more than we can do in 15 minutes, but we can at least get started. And so let's have Tracy and Barb start. And let's have you pick your favorite one. You were doing three of them. And we'll do maybe one round, maybe two rounds. We'll just see how long this takes. You can take 1 minute, maybe two, not a long dissertation about it, but something that sounds like, well, mine was ahimsa. And I know the basic meaning is nonviolence, non-harming. But what surprised me about it is this. I didn't realize if I could be harming somebody in this particular way, you know, or that involved the you know, peacefulness that comes on the other side of that. Where I want to implement that in my work is this.
Now, Tracy, Tracy did have some good observations about this, what she thought it was going to be, and then what it
I love that.
Seems to be.
So
Tracy, would you be willing to share that?
And if you guys didn't do it quite like that, however you do it is just going to be perfect. So that, and the intention behind this whole segment is that we have some idea from each one saying it in your own words and something of the greater depth. And I encourage you to go and read that whole article. I've read it multiple times. I've studied these for years. Connect with each other. Take the deeper dive at another time. But here, let's at least get a feel for the game, so we can see how these actually apply on the court, right? Are the instructions clear? Okay, so Tracy and Barb, you're pointing to Tracy. Tracy, you're up.
Okay, the first one, the ahimsa, the nonviolent and non-harming, I kept thinking in my mind that was like, don't be harmful to your body. Mm-hmm. And when I read it, it seemed like it was more toward your mind. Mm-hmm. Not so much your body, more your mind. What else, Barb?
Well, and the negative thoughts, what we know, what you focus on expands. And so that idea of focusing on negative thoughts was a helpful piece. And we certainly are experiencing lots of negativity in our lives right now. So that was a helpful piece.
Uh-huh. What's actually going on is another level of what ahimsa is about. What's going on in my mind and what I'm actually saying is connected with those disempowering stories. And the yogis say, if we live in ahimsa, we're going to suffer. Right? What can we do to let it go, to eradicate it, to find out where it's even happening and release it the best that we can, starting with awareness. Love that.
And thank you. Use karma as sort of a revenge kind of thing, you know, karma will come back and get you. And that's definitely not the way yogis wanted us to think about that.
Yes. Right. So how do you think how was it being described to you, or how did you understand it instead? If it's not revenge, it's kind of like a Western version of, like, surface version of it.
Sort of. Well, we agreed to sort of like the golden rule. You know, treat others the way you would like to be treated.
Uh huh. Yeah. And the yogis talk about the power that comes from this, that with Ahimsa and in the sutras, we don't have time, it's beyond the scope of what we're doing today, but that even animals and hostile people will like, that hostility will stop when we actually live with this and embody this principle of nonviolence, non-harming. And imagine that when you are dealing with a challenging team member or whatever, or a somebody who could use your work, but all of a sudden they start to become, you know, hostile because they're afraid, or they're like, what different qualities may come to that conversation. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you for making that real for us. Love it. Yes, 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 yes. All right, let's hear from group two. Marla, Lindsay, and Yvonne. And if you can remember to mute yourself when you're finished speaking, just so we'll have a nice clear line, that'd be great. So which one do you want to dive into?
Girls, what do you think?
Well, I like the one that I went over the most, the energy moderation.
Brahmacharya.
You're saying the right words.
It was interesting because it mostly talked about disturbances, anything that causes disturbances in the mind or stirs emotions. But it seemed like it mostly went into relaxing the body and not using physical energy too much. For me, the problem is more in the mind and emotions. So it was sort of, it occurs in all parts, not just one segment of your being.
Yeah, so again, the yogis have a very narrow definition of it. Sometimes it's defined narrowly as chastity, but what are you talking about? Like, how does this apply to our lives today, right? But if it's about energy, one way to think of it too is like not leaking our energy. Well, right. Then it happens on all kinds of levels, that we're misusing the senses, we're not, we're leaking energy. And so what, like, can you think of a way that actually matters in your everyday life or in your company? Can you give us something that will make it feel energy moderation? Like, what, give me an example. Can you think of a thing that would have to do with brahmacharya in a real life situation? He says, become a good energy manager.
Yes. For me, it's the mindfulness. Because for me, it's more energy. I've worked a long time on physical energy management because it matters so much to the horses. But I find, especially when I'm away from the horses, that my mental energy and emotional energy is very wild.
Yeah, right. And so not the focused. Mental energy and the emotional energy and the, like, those different levels of energy connected. So if we're not paying attention, then we're going to be leaking in ways that we don't know. Right. And if we think of it too, like in terms of the senses, if his narrow definition is celibacy and about sexuality, you know, it's about like things we touch and taste and feel and smell, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. then anything that is kind of bombarding us or making us leak energy is going to make us less efficient for our companies. Right. And I love that you're talking about those different levels of energy leaks. So, and I love the example given, you know, anything that causes turbulence in the mind and stirs the emotions might be seen as a violation of brahmacharya. Overstimulating foods, loud music, violent movies, and yes, inappropriate sexual behavior. Whatever disturbs the mind and body disturbs the spiritual life. It's all one energy. Become a good energy manager. It's not telling you to do this action or not. It's like, what is the effect on my energy? I think about my daughter who watches all kinds of scary shows all the time, and she doesn't think it makes any difference to her. And I'm not telling you to watch scary shows or not. Yogis are saying, what's actually happening to you when that's happening? And is it leaking? Maybe it doesn't leak her energy. I can't judge for her, but maybe it's leaking mine and I ought not to do that, because then I've got my energy directed. We were talking at the beginning about focused about focus. So this, you know, if we have that scatteredness, if we're not following the principles of brahmacharya, we're not going to have that focused energy. So love it. Thank you. Beautiful. Yes, yes, yes. I love that, those different levels that you've brought out. All right. Group three. Is this helpful to you? Is this starting to make these a little bit more real? Like they're actually applicable to our daily lives moment by moment. Thank you for nodding. I'm trusting that either Satya in that you wouldn't nod if you didn't mean it, right? Because otherwise you're going to suffer. The yogis tell us so, right? All right. Group number three, that's Angela and Mary Kay. Where do you want to go to?
Do you want to go first, Angela? Or?
Sure. I'll go with Santosha.
So Santosha, yep.
Santosha, yes. Being able to find the joy in the experience, and so for us to be able to not control or not force something and be accepting and open to embracing what it is, not feeling like it has to be perfect or a certain way, or being able to be open to exactly whatever that experience is and embrace it.
Mm. Love it. And can you hear in Angela's description, this is a fine, beautiful description of Santosha, that it embraces so much more than just that one word, contentment, in the English language. Like when we think content, we don't have all those resonances. At least I don't. When I say that word content, I'm just content, right? That's the usual translation, but it means all of those things. So, and I love that this translation, they don't always bring in that element of joy in it. Like contentment is usually how it's translated, but I love that that the article and then starts there and then you picked that up, Angela. So why should that matter? Like on the court, who cares? Sounds nice, good idea, but so what? So why does it matter?
Because I think essentially it would block you from learning. If you can't embrace something for what it is, how are you supposed to grow or learn from that experience? And I mean, if you're not being able to embrace it and enjoy the moment, I mean, you're essentially missing out on everything around you.
Mm. Beautiful. I love that. Thank you, Angela. You know, it reminds me of one of my teachers. We had a chance to, it was a high investment, and we had a chance to ask questions. And so I had my time. Other people had their time on the call. Some people didn't show up for the call, so she ended the call early. I didn't have Santosha at that moment. I'm like, what? Because I was supposed to learn from their question and like, blah, 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 blah. And I was suffering, right? It's one really simple example of, we cross these. Yogis don't go, thou shalt or else. They just say, try it out. Try one way, try the other way. We're going to suffer when we're crossing these. And so I had to, then it was the inner work of, why am I so caught up in this? It doesn't matter. I got a fabulous answer to my question. It was amazing. And so we end 15 minutes earlier today. Like, so noticing that Santosha wasn't there and stuck with it, thinking that it was supposed to be a particular way. And then when I released that, I could actually hear what was said. So, and when, because that reminded me of that when you said block from learning. So how wonderful is that, whether I'm learning from a teacher or learning from my daughter or learning from an experience. It wasn't supposed to happen that way because I wasn't supposed to hurt my ankle, for instance, you know, or whatever it is, or I'm not supposed to, and therefore we block. So instead, what does it mean to actually live and abide in that? Lovely. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Let's do, I think we have time for, I would love to do them all. Last year we didn't get to near as many, but I really wanted to make sure that you've got kind of the smorgasbord of them in front of you because they work together. So you're up for at least one more round here so we'll hear double as many in a few minutes. We can do this, right? So group number one, I feel like on a game show or something. And the answer is group number one, which one do you want to go to next? Tracy and Barb.
Well, I'd like to go to non-stealing, if that's okay, Tracy.
Yep, that would be fine.
Perfect.
I could relate to this one in my work because talks about there are lots of things you can steal. And as you mentioned, Michelle, it could be stealing someone's time if you're late. So I'm guilty of that. Stealing someone's energy. You can steal someone else's ideas if you represent them as your own. And so that sentence is sort of the heart of the educational process that I try to bring to people. So that just jumped out at me beyond the idea of stealing physical property, the idea of stealing intellectual property.
So I love this because the Yoga Sutras help us on so many levels. And sometimes we don't think that it's going to help on a practical level. Like, that's nice. That's pie in the sky. I know we're supposed to do that, but let's get on with the day. But this may, for instance, like for your work, Barb, this may give a whole other, like, I would stop to think about, do I want to investigate in that direction or not? But it gives a whole other possibility for how to speak to people about the work. Because if we know that if people are stealing ideas, the yogis say they're suffering. They are suffering. And just if we investigate closely, it's like, when has anybody ever stolen somebody's idea once here? Do you think you've done it if you're honest? I bet, you know, we've all done everything before, right? And then if you think about it, how did it actually make you feel? And then as Barb investigates this, and she's got the power of the Yoga Sutras behind her, and she starts realizing, oh, these people, it's not just that they're, let's say if they're stealing stuff and then it has practical implications or whatever, they are suffering inside themselves. So that, you know, and what we do as entrepreneurs is we solve problems. And people pay us to solve problems for them. That suffering is part of their problem. It might be an unacknowledged problem. So that might be a way to start a conversation. That might enter into a talk when Barb can find a way to speak about that thing that they're probably not speaking about. It's an unacknowledged pain. Whole different entry road into a language she can use to, when she can find the language that resonates with, like, I don't feel good. And she has that solution. That might be so much better or deeper than like the practicality of a fine or whatever it is. It's like, if they're suffering.
Thank you.
And you can alleviate that. That's huge. Right? Really good. Yes, thank you. Love it. All right, group two. Marla, Lindsay, and Yvonne, what's up next?
Yvonne, do you mind if I share how perfect ours worked out?
Go for it.
Okay.
Go for it, my friend.
So as I was driving, I said, guys, I'm here. I'm going to do as much as I can to help you out with this. Just pick one for me. Tell me what it is. I'll read it when I get back to the house. And so we went on our ways and I got back and I started reading it. And it was like alignment with my business and just things that are going on, letting the noise of things that are going on in the industry and all around with the business get into my head. And so,
okay, hang on. So which one is it? Cause we don't know what it is and what it means yet. So we know how to listen.
Yep. Sorry. I was just getting ready to say it and I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but I would say Saucha.
Saucha. Yeah.
Yep.
Saucha.
And it talked a lot about like uncluttering our thoughts and keeping it clean on the inside and the outside, to allow you to create that sense of calm for yourself by doing so, and getting in touch with your essence basically, and allows you to not then have to like seek perfection, but to just have clean thoughts, I guess, is how I took it.
And, you know, it is so perfect. And Lindsay, I don't know if you remember, because there was no context for it at the time and you wouldn't have heard the word before. And a lot happened at the Diamond Elite Retreat. But I talked to you about Saucha at the Diamond Elite Retreat. Do you remember that? You might not remember the word itself, but we were talking about something, something related to this. And so if I've got, it's like that internal vacuum cleaner, right? I need to take an internal vacuum cleaner because there's all this gunk going on inside me. Cleanliness, who cares? There's all of this gunk going on and cluttered thoughts and clutter everywhere. I how am I going to focus? How am I going to find the right action and the right intention in all that? So Really awesome. Yeah, love it. You guys are doing a fabulous job of this. Thank you. And I hear you really hearing these. Yeah, love it. Thank you. All right. Beautiful. Perfect. Angela, Mary Kay, so group three. What's our number six?
Well, I'll take the self-study thing because it jumped off the page for me. It gains, with self-study, you gain stability to extend to others. And
sorry, you sound really quiet to me. I don't know if it's just at my end. You gain what?
You gain stability to help that you can extend to others.
Yeah.
And that fits very, very closely into my work with horses, because if you self-study, you will gain the stability and connection, and the connection, well, any connection, connection with horses, connection with people. And it actually, that actually played out in my experience with the yoga thing, because
yes, exactly. Yeah, what was going on for you was exactly svadhyaya, self-study. It was a deep example of svadhyaya, and then the huge benefits that came out of that investigation.
Now yeah. I have your stability to connect with everybody here.
Yes, brilliant. And and with horses, I think like that self-study svadhyaya, I've heard different variations with people who work with horses in different ways, but some variation of as people come and their horses, that stupid horse won't do what I want it to do. But what's really needed is some kind of self-study, because that's not really what's going on. And so understanding what's happening with ourselves, understanding sometimes what's happening with our clients, and then having ahimsa, nonviolence, not harming, because then we get, so these start to combine too. Because we can go, well, you're stupid because don't you understand it's not the horse? You're being stupid. And like, oh, wait, I'm perpetuating the same violence. There's not, I'm falling out away from ahimsa. And I'm also, there's no svadhyaya, no self-study. So they start to interact, right? Love it. Thank you, Mary Kay. Wow. All right. We are at 4:24 and we just have four left. And I think if we went like really quickly, we could do them all just 1 minute each. So you have a complete picture. And thank you, Tracy. You're right in the middle of my screen and you're nodding really strongly. And that takes us there. So Tracy and Barb, there's you're up next.
Okay. I'll do it. The second one.
Thank you.
Satya.
Oh, yes, Satya, truthfulness.
Truthfulness. We, as we were reading that, it was interesting that how you convey your truthfulness, it's not always in words.
Mm-hmm. Nice notice.
And, you know, and it comes through in a lot of other ways that you show truthfulness.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for underlining that. Sometimes I can see somebody and they're saying one thing, but what they're doing is something else. And then how am I conveying what I'm conveying? Our bodies, our thoughts, all that. How can they be aligned with truthfulness? Thank you. There's more to say, but I want to keep going. I want to say like an hour about each of these. Great work. Okay, Marla, Lindsay, Yvonne, next.
So mine was aparigraha.
Yeah.
Non-grasping. So it was all about being satisfied with what we already have, both immaterial goods, and also really letting go of old beliefs and old habits in again that mind clutter. And if you want to invite more of the aparigraha in your life, two ways of doing that was to acknowledge abundance and practice gratitude.
And this is going to dovetail so much with, like, we're in the abundance series right now, right? So one way to think about it is, like, the abundance series is helping us to align with this yogic virtue in order to create freedom. It's one way to see it, right? And that also you talked about it, well, you've got to, you know, letting go of old habits, beliefs, and so on, aparigraha. We've got a whole series called Letting Go, right? So it's, you can hear its roots in the Yoga Sutras. Can I let go of whatever it is that I'm grasping onto, because if I'm doing that, it's going to cause me suffering. One real example, real quick, for you.
Well, for me, I think the one thing that I would love to do more consciously is practicing more gratitude, because I know the ripple effect of it. I hear, you know, everybody always talking about it, but it's also, you know, now really embracing and embodying that myself.
And why that's so important for actually manifesting those things that we choose to manifest. Stay tuned March 3rd. We're going to be diving in further into this. So again, everything is all interwoven. Everything's connected. Thank you. Yes, beautiful. So group number three, you've got the last two, I believe, right? Angela and Mary Kay.
Okay. Believe it's pronounced tapas.
Is tapas, that right? Yep.
Tapas, okay. It's about... self-discipline and your habits, recognizing how your habits and self-discipline can translate to me, like think about how those things can translate into my business, and also practicing those things. So and not when practicing them, not being so rigid, thinking you have to have a certain amount of time to do such things, even if you just have a few minutes each day, recognize those habits you're good at and that are beneficial to you and do those.
Yes, beautiful. You can hear the link with practice. Remember I said in the call, the first call in the Abundance series, that the yogis have many words for practice. Tapas is one of them. It has an aspect of practice about it. And you mentioned self-discipline as well. Like it could be 5 minutes a day, but just freaking do it, you know? And he doesn't emphasize this version of the translation so much, but I like the translation of burning zeal. Burning zeal. Like I'm going to get to it. I'm going to stick to it. I'm not going to let this go. Right. There's a kind of dogged persistence almost about it too. And that is really required when we're growing a company. So yes, self-discipline, and it can happen that what I keep practicing. Yeah. Thank you. Good. Mary Kay, you've got the last one.
Yeah. This one is the Ishvara Pranidhana.
Ishvara Pranidhanani. Yeah.
The dedication to the highest. This one's very inspiring. The sacred power of life for
universal life. And a little louder again, Mary Kay, just for me anyway.
Universal life and for animals everywhere and humans and the whole interwoven connection and way out into the universe, this sacred power that comes in for all of us and how it applies directly in the moment, because I'm thinking it help in making decisions moment to moment, what is my highest action? Mm. And even just sitting here, I noticed I'm sitting here like crooked. That's not right. My highest action. And waiting because I'm too scared to be seen, that's not my highest action either.
Mm. Beautiful. Yeah. So surrender to the divine, connection to the divine, like a devotion to the divine, sometimes described like that. And so then I'm looking at moment to moment, what are my actions about that? And I love that example of slouching down. And then we can see how the different yamas and niyamas interact too, because then tapas, that burning zeal, it's like, no, I can sit up for one more minute. It's okay, because that connects me to the divine. And then there's also an element of svadhyaya in there. So starting to connect them. Self-study, what am I actually doing? I'm sitting like this, not like this. All of these are interconnected. All of these have a moment by moment effect on our lives and our companies. And you have all done an outstanding job to describe these and why they matter and get underneath them in beautiful ways. So that's hugely inspiring to me. Thank you so much for your excellent work here. I want to close this segment with just a word or two or three, not more than a sentence from each of you here. Something of the gifts received from this segment. What's your aha? Remember way back at the beginning of this block, we were talking about all the openings from our asana practice, from our practice of postures. huge openings there. Then we moved into yoga philosophy, Ashtanga yoga. There's eight limbs. We usually only know about, there's a bit of breathing and postures. What comes before, that's what we're doing now. The yamas and niyamas, deep dive into that. So we understand so much more of all of what the yogis are bringing to us for companies and for our world. That's just a brief reminder of where we've been just in this block. One aha in a word or two, not more than a sentence, so we can consolidate, do a little mini consolidation, and then we'll come back after the break. Just before we go to that consolidation, because I want to end with the consolidation, we will come back. We're going to take that half hour break. We're going to come back. So I'll announce exactly when we're going to come back, depending on how long this segment takes. And we're going to come back to, let me see. There might be a little bit of mini consolidation. There might be a little bit of teaching. We'll see, because I'm going to meditate on it over that next half hour and see what will serve the best. Certainly, if you have any questions, they might be answered here. But sometimes the vibration of the question and the vibration of the answer are not the same place. You might have time for questions here. If we don't have time for questions here because we're just in a different energy, you can keep asking questions all year long. It's a marathon, not a sprint. You can ask questions arising from here, right? So I'm not trying to stop questions. I'm trying to keep us maintaining this energy of the thing that we're building here, all right? So we'll open with a small piece, and then we're going to close our day with some restorative yoga and some breath work and some shavasana. So yoga has those active postures. We did a bit of those early this morning. We'll end with a deep, deep quietness that restorative yoga brings. So we'll go back to our... I'll be back in the studio. You can be back in your studio, whatever that is, with your props beside you for the last segment of this, our first of three Yoga for Entrepreneur journeys this year. So let's do that mini consolidation. Any questions about what's coming up? I'll give you the timing of it in a minute, but anything without which we can't go forward, because I don't want nagging kind of thoughts going in this direction. You all good? Okay. Mini consolidation, one, two, three words or a sentence. What's the gift, what's the aha in this segment for you? Yvonne, you're up first.
Controlling my mind.
Which is the whole definition of yoga, right? It's so important. Stilling those fluctuations of consciousness. It's at the heart of everything we do. It's the heart of freedom. Yeah, thank you. Beautiful. Marla. Oh, and you're muted.
Pretty much the same, the energy moderation, but basically mindfulness.
Yeah. And when we say that word mindfulness, it can mean so many things, but what I love about the yogis do is they break down all the layers of how that actually happens and what's going on in these minute ways in order to produce that mindfulness. So thank you. I love that, Marla. Thank you. Tracy, you're up.
I want to reread the whole yogajournal.com.
The article that I gave to you? Yeah. Yes. That is an excellent thing to do. And thank you for that, for hearing the depths of what's in there. Thank you for that. Beautiful. Barb.
Yes, I agree with Tracy. These yamas and niyamas were totally new to me. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating as individual pieces, but then as interacting pieces.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. Mary Kay.
Self-study can go back out to stabilize connection.
Uh-huh. Beautiful summary of a really profound transformation that's happened right here in front of our eyes, right? We got to witness. Thank you. Beautiful. Angela.
I would probably say for me, the contentment and allowing and embracing each situation or experience or whatever for what it is.
Love it.
And being open to learn from it without judging or feeling like if it's not perfect, what am I still gaining or learning from this experience?
Beautiful. The power that brings is stupendous. It's great. Yes. Thank you. Lindsay, you're up.
For me, it's just pinpointing, like I know for my anxiety, if there's chaos and clutter around my house, it piques my anxiety. And it's no different if I'm allowing all that clutter in my mind. It's just going to continue to exacerbate the anxiety. So decluttering.
Fantastic. Great notice. Goes right back to, remember I said Sasha, clumminess, what's that about? Oh, that changes everything. I want that focus. Key component. Can't get there without it. Fantastic work, everybody. I have been studying and teaching about the Yoga Sutras and the Yamas and Niyamas for years. This is the best I've heard students articulate this ever. You guys got this, you know? And there's more and more layers, I get it, but I heard you hearing and articulating the essence of it. I'm still learning too. But great, great job. Fantastic. I know you're hearing about what these are, why they matter so much, and how we can start implementing this knowledge in our companies, in our lives. So thank you for that. It makes my day to hear you hearing at this depth of level. Beautiful. So let's take that half hour break. Please take care of yourself. And, you know, all of these yamas and niyamas are not theoretical. They're real. Ahimsa, nonviolence, non-harming. You go and, like, you know, have people yelling at you or yell at somebody, or you're engaged in something that is distracting your mind, that the yogis say, oh, that's going to cause suffering. Please don't cause suffering for yourself, right? Take time for yourself. Take the space for yourself the best that you can. And so that we can come back and consolidate the work that we'll do in the studio, consolidates what we've done through the day. Right, so we'll come back at, on my clock, it's 5:10. So we go from 5:10 until, what did I say, 6 o'clock? That will be the end of our yoga journey today. So we've got our last 50-minute block for maybe a bit of consolidation, and most of it, I hope and expect, lying down and breathing and learning the breath work that is built on top of Shavasana. So those are some of the things to come. Thank you so much. We'll see you in half an hour.